This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, helping me to understand Africa during Ukraine conflict, where the Russians and the Chinese are very busy. You will note that very few, if any, of the African nation, members of the African Union have condemned Russia or sanctioned Russia because of Ukraine conflict. At the same time, there are ongoing conflict zones, and Gregory just returned from one in Nigeria. Gregory, the headlines in these last days can be a puzzle to me. Scores of Nigeria jihadists drown fleeing airstrikes, and Nigeria renewed fighting against crude oil theft has denied criminals N30. Well, anyway, they go on to how much they've denied them. So there's oil theft, there's jihadists, and these are all threats to the regime in Abuja. Your report from there suggested that the army is adequate, but perhaps a little overwhelmed in all these parts. It's a vast country. Can you say that the army is confident now that it can address any of these issues, certainly the oil theft, for example?
Well, theoretically, the army is strong enough and capable enough to address any of the crises now confronting the government, but they can't confront all of them, certainly not all at once. It's going to have to move now to a selective response, ring-fencing areas and protecting them. And one of the ones which they'll obviously do early on is to ring-fence the problem in the Niger Delta, where there have been threats to pipeline security and where there has been massive theft of oil sanctioned by a lot of government ministers and others who have been profiting from this. In fact, to the tune of perhaps 95%, has been suggested, 95% of the Nigerian oil output has been stolen and sold illegally. Now, this can be addressed, but it won't be addressed until the February elections next year, which will bring in a new president, because President Buhari can't stand for a third term. But we won't see any real improvement in the situation until probably May, when the new government is sworn in. And there are three main contenders for the presidency, any one of whom will promote a plan to improve the situation somewhat. Now, in the north, where the security problem has just exploded, because with the breaking up of Boko Haram a few years ago, you've now got multiple terrorist entities, such as Ansaru, which is basically aligned with Middle Eastern Islamists. You've got Islamic State West Africa province, which is tied to the Islamic State. And you've got others like Ansaru tied to Al-Qaeda and the like. Those groups have spread now throughout the entire north of Nigeria, and they have been matched by the surge of Fulani militia. These are people, the migratory Fulani people, cattle herding people, who have begun a lot of operations to protect Fulani herders. The Fulani militia have been protecting the Fulani herders. This has brought about an incredible wave of banditry, as we've discussed in the past, including a lot of kidnapping and so on of civilians for ransom. It's a way of making money. It's a way of embarrassing the government. Now, the president, Buhari, is Fulani, and they see him as their godfather. Whether he sees them as his godchildren is another matter. But the reality is that problem will not go away either until the elections next February. But there are solutions which have been designed, which can be implemented by the new government. And as my contacts with all the three candidates shows that they're all keen to look for solutions to address that. A lot of the state governments themselves have been dissatisfied with the federal government over the past 8 to 12 years and have begun forming, as their legal right, to form state militias to respond to local terrorist threats. One of the plans of the new government is to coordinate federal forces with these state militias to ensure that there's an integrated approach and where they can work together to get concentrations of forces able to overwhelm the rebels. Because right now, the rebels, in most instances, can outnumber the government forces, and they are better equipped than the government forces and perhaps better motivated. So the key is, how do you fight against that? How do you demotivate some of the criminal and jihadist groups? It can be done, and there are plans underway to do it, but it's not going to happen until early next year.
In our final minute, Gregory, I know I'm Eurocentric here, but the war in Ukraine is unpredictable and extremely threatening. Is there evidence of Russia or China, or evidence of China moving into Nigeria and offering money, arms, guidance, anything like what we're seeing in Ethiopia?
Yes, the Chinese in particular have been offering a lot of weapons into Nigeria. Most of those weapons have been totally unsatisfactory, including the provision of some fighter aircraft, which were totally unsuited to the air-to-ground war to counter the guerrilla groups. They've lost a number of those aircraft. The Chinese small arms and light weapons have been very ineffective. The ammunition has been very bad, poor quality and the like. So the rebels have invariably got the old Nigerian army stocks of Ukrainian AK-47s and reliable Ukrainian or Russian-built ammunition. So the reality is that the Chinese have been making money out of the Nigerian armed forces, but not really helping a lot. They've provided a couple of Wing Lung unmanned aerial vehicles, but they have been a relatively little help. The Nigerian armed forces are getting a little more experience in unmanned aerial vehicles, including armed ones, combat aerial vehicles. But the Chinese have attempted to keep their friendship with the Nigerian government, but have not been effectively helping in the counterterrorism war.
Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, updating us on two conflict zones, one in East Africa, or the Horn of Africa, and one in West Africa, the very important state of Nigeria, during the worldwide crisis over Ukraine. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.